Take your Bibles and go to the book of Proverbs. God's given us his word, and that word is it is the guidance, the love, the care, the direction, the teaching. It is deliverance. It is for our healing power. It shows us what to do, gives us doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and right living. It's really magnificent. And he constantly, just like you heard in the prophecy a moment ago, God is always directing us back to it. In Proverbs chapter 7, you know, the book of Proverbs was written to really kids. This was a book that children would have to memorize. 31 chapters. At the end, a mom is telling the son, what kind of woman you ought to get, the virtuous woman. And keeps you out of a whole lot of trouble when you get one of those. But in the middle here, it talks about God's word. It talks about wisdom. And wisdom is talked about like she's a woman. You have the wisdom of God is talked about as a woman, a righteous woman. And then you have the wisdom of the world, the word of the world, the wisdom of the world is talked about like she's a hooker, an evil woman. And then it paints a picture for you of what goes on and how easy, because it's part of real life, how real life works. And I wanted to read this. It says, my son, chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And that's just really what it's about. You do the word of God, you live. You don't do the word of God, it's death. And we're talking about eternity. We're not just talking about right now. And it says, bind them about thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, that evil woman, the world's wisdom. See, God's wisdom will keep you from the strange woman or the worldly wisdom. Verse 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through the casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way of her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black of the dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle in of heart. She is loud and stubborn. You know, she's reckless, you know, just her feet abide not in her house. She's walking the streets. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with the imprudent face said unto him, I have peace offering with me. This day have I paid my vow. Therefore come I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works and with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloe and crimson. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone, a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she causes him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forces him. She forced him. It's all with words. It's all with, it sounds good, looks good, this might be enticing, and this is the world. The world will tell you that whatever feels good, baby. Not necessarily the brightest way to live. The world will tell you, what was it? Those old commercials, the me generation. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. Back in the 70s when I was listening to the music, it was Love the One You're With, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. It was a great song. Bad message, great song. The world will always entice you to do anything but God's word. That is what the world will do. It's just like getting some foolish kid to go with her. The world always does that. So he goes, right? The husband's not home. Come on, let's go. And then verse 22, he goes after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till the dart strike through his liver, till he gets pierced through his liver, and the birds hasten to snare and knows not it is for life. This is going to ruin him for life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her, and her house is the way of hell, the grave, going down to the chambers of death. Chapter 8, does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in the top of the high place, by the way in the place of the path. She cries at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors, until you, O men, I call, unto you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men. God has sent his word to us, and he cries to us. He's given you got this thing in your hand. Oh, you simple, understand wisdom. Oh, you fools, be you of understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and opening of my lips shall be right things. Of my mouth shall speak truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. Are in righteous. There is nothing froward or perverse. There's nothing being spoken that is a half-truth. There's nothing corrupt in what God's word teaches us to do. If the word says this, then that is the truth, and that is light, and that is life. You know, so many times people hear what the word says and then they say, that's not right. That's not. No, that is what is right. That is what is a blessing, keeps alive people. The enticing words, the flattering ones, the ones that make it, oh, you know, if you do this, man, you'll get this. This will help you out. Those are the ones that'll destroy if it's not based upon God's word. Whatever's going on in life now for you, whatever is swirling around the world, you ever notice? You have to take all those things. Is this God's or is this the world? Is this selfish or is this living and giving and the things that God teaches about? You have to discern what you're being fed. Is it based upon truth of God's word or is it enticing and ungodly? You have to, but you have to do it with the word. Not with what, you know, I'll get to it a little bit later after I'm done reading this. I just love these sections here. Verse 8 again. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. This is true wisdom. The woman that is righteous wisdom, God's wisdom, that's being betrayed here. They are all plain to him that understands and right to them that find knowledge. They sound perfectly beautiful to the people who really do know the word. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that are made be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty intentions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. This wisdom hates these things. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, double riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue that than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me. Yahweh possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before the works of old. You know, this wisdom, remember, it's a picture. It wasn't a real woman, all right? It's a picture. It's, like a figure of speech. This was with God before anything was done. This word, this wisdom, this truth that he's trying to give to us, put in our hearts and minds, he wants us to live by, this was the foundation of everything. Was the foundation of everything. Where am I? 22. The Lord possessed me. Yahweh possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or even the earth beginning, or ever the earth was, when there was no depths, I was brought forth, when there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills were brought forth, while as yet, he had not made the earth, nor the field, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depths, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the depths, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O you children of blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse not. Blessed is the man that heareth me and watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of the door. For whosoever finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of Yahweh. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And they that hate me love death. What a picture. What a picture of God, his word, of the dividing line of life, death, right, wrong, truth, error. God, his wisdom that he has laid out, you know, it says in the beginning in John 1:1, it says in the beginning was God, all right, was the word. In the beginning was the word. The word there is logos, John 1, verse 1. And the word was God. This word is as much God as God is God. This thing is power. When it was spoken, the commands, let there be light, you know, that's all it took. There was. Nobody argued. Nobody got in the way. Wouldn't have to be dramatic. The words spoke existence, light, planet, the expanse into being in Genesis. It's the words. That was with God in the beginning from the beginning. Look at Jeremiah 17. If you go to follow the world's wisdom, and there's nothing new about the world's wisdom, nothing new. It's been the same stuff from forever, all right? If you look at people's problems, you know, they got the same stuff they've always had. There's nothing new here. You got, it's just watch an old movie. There's nothing new. I mean, it's sort of ridiculous. There's nothing new under the sun, it says in Ecclesiastes. That's the word's declaration. You know, why do people sin? Selfishness. You know, it's their nature. Why are men evil? It's their nature without God. People are evil. Surprise that there's evil in the world. What changes an evil, born in sin, selfish man? Christ. The deliverance of God's word. You teach people the truth. You teach them the principles. There are people who don't even know God, and yet they teach the principles that are in the scripture. Like walking honestly, work hard. These are all principles and truth. And some of these people don't even know who God is, but they teach those truths. So the people who don't teach those truths are, get what you can when you can. My father told me, always remember the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not get caught. That was one of my great lessons growing up from my dad. He said, if you smoke, smoke Pall Mall. If you're going to drink, John, drink scotch. And always remember the 11th commandment. Now, this is world wisdom, right? This is a daddy to his son. It was a class. It was a classic day. But I'll never forget it. It was one of those, John, sit down. I got something to share with you. Kind of moments. What a guy. Jeremiah 17. You think that the world isn't like that? I mean, maybe in your Christian home, it's not. But an awful lot of people it is. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, thus saith Yahweh, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and make flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord, departs from Yahweh. You make flesh your strength, this is, you're cursed, and depart from Yahweh. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inherit the parched places of the earth and in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not habitable. Inhabitable. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord Yahweh, whose hope Yahweh is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spread forth her roots by the rivers and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What a contrast. You trust in the world, the flesh, the things of the world, you're going to be like a little plant in the middle of the desert, and you ain't going to do well at all. Your life's all dried up, hopeless. You go God's way, trust in the Lord, you'll flourish. You'll flourish with fruit. You're not going to see any dry days. I mean, can the picture be more contrasting? Don't think so. See, and the things of God, now I want you to picture the guy who's talking this, Jeremiah, he's the one delivering this message. What does his life look like at the moment? Bam, it's not good at all. Not good at all. People are rejecting him, beating him. In fact, they capture him, throw him in prison. They also put him in a pit of human feces. How come he says your life's going to flourish? Hey, no, I don't want to do that. Take a clue. We're not just talking about this life right now. We're talking about eternally. Believe me, my life has been filled with many, many blessings. It's also been filled with many, many, many challenges that I would have preferred not to go through. Okay, for me and my loved ones. The Lord's always been there. Helps me through every one of those challenges. And I've been strengthened by every one of the challenges I've gone through. But you know when the real fruit's going to be forever and ever and ever? When it's really going to be worth it? Is when God's ultimate promise happens and he sends back our Lord and you and I are changed or raised from the dead. forevermore to be with the Lord. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more. That's when it's the short life, no matter what you go through, no problem. It's short. How short is it? Just keep, as we keep getting older, we realize how much shorter it gets. When I was 20, I didn't think about it at all. But this was like forever. When you do the word, man, it's not just the now, but it's also forever. You turn your back on God, it's not just for the now, it's for forever. Go to Isaiah 26. We are confronted every day with, what do I believe? What do I? What am I going to do? How am I going to live? If it's got to be based on what Scripture says. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust you in Yahweh forever, for in the Lord, in Yahweh, is everlasting strength." Everlasting strength. Trust him. You know, in Jeremiah, I should have read that, but I didn't. Back in Jeremiah, one more time, 17. Verse 9. Now I'm going to switch thoughts here a little bit, all right? So we know what we're supposed to pick: God's word, his wisdom, his words, their power, they are life, they are beauty. And we're talking about for all eternity, the blessing. So Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it?" See, man's heart is desperately wicked above all things. You know, I wasn't kidding when I said men are evil. I mean, most people, oh, there's a little good. Yeah. You know, there's good in it if you put it in. There is no good in it if you don't put it in. It says, "I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." So the heart of man is deceitful. It's evil. Go to Matthew 15. You know, when somebody says, "Oh, you got to follow your heart." You ever hear that? Follow your heart. It's like saying to the young guy in Proverbs 7, follow whatever feels good. You know, in Matthew 15 and verse 19, it says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile a man." So go to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 20, verse 26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Now we're back in Proverbs. What's wise again? What's wisdom? God's word. That's why I said to you before, everything that goes on in your life and everything that is coming at you, where you got to make a decision, you have to ask yourself if those things that are coming at you, if this whole thing that's coming your way is of God or if it's of the world. Is this what the word says to live by and to do? You know, I mean, back when, before I knew God, before I knew anything else, right? If you push me, I would push you a whole lot harder. All right? That was the rule. That was what's right and what's wrong. That's the way I grew up. Put your finger in my chest, and that was automatic. I trained myself that I would beat you until you couldn't get up. That was at least my goal. I didn't always succeed. Sometimes the people got me. Just because you want to do something don't mean that you're going to get it. My point is, though, there was no option. That was what truth was to me. That is what I was taught as truth. You don't back down. You don't allow this. And no matter what comes your way, whether you win or lose, you don't allow it. You know, it went right along with thou shalt not get caught. But what does the word of God say? Now, after I learned the word, now I had to stop acting like that. That was no longer going to be my truth. I had to choose to change what I believed and what I was going to act upon. I had to discipline myself to, hey, you know what? An insult is just an insult. It's not something to go to blows about. Now, protecting your family, that's still on. But insults and unimportant things. You know, the other day, somebody had a fender bender and was shot because they hit the guy's car. Husband and wife. Is that really worth it for anybody for a few dollars? But you know, back in my neighborhood, life was very, very, very cheap. You could give the big kid on the block a quarter and he would beat the guy up that you wanted beaten up, as long as he was 5 or 6 years younger. Because it didn't take him much work. Sad. The world, what is it that the world's throwing at us? What is it that it's throwing at you? Are these things that are being pushed, are they for God, spiritual, righteous, according to his word, or is it damaging and we got to avoid it at all costs? We all got to choose. We all got to think. We all got to learn. Came with forgiveness, right? One of the hardest lessons I ever learned in scripture. You got to forgive. The hardest lesson, probably. One of the hardest. I got to forgive. And then I guess never happened. But it's required, isn't it? God has forgiven me so much, then I am to forgive. And when it's forgiven, it's forgiven. But I don't want to get stuck. Go to James chapter 1. The word gives us direct knowledge. It is knowledge that is beautiful, powerful, it's been with God and it is his way since the beginning. And we dare not treat it lightly. When stuff comes your way, I don't trust my own heart. I have to ask myself, what does God's word say? And not just the cherry-picked verses that I like. Got to look at the whole thing. You know, I used to cherry-pick the verse and think that, well, this is good. But then it didn't flow with all the other verses. In James chapter 1, verse 14, it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You know, the temptation comes when you are enticed. You are drawn away. Everybody's tempted. Jesus Christ was tempted in all things like we are. Everyone is tempted. You're not sinning when you're tempted. Just because you had this evil run through your mind doesn't mean you've sinned or that your lack of spirituality. Everyone is tempted when they are enticed, and we got this old nature, right? He's drawn away of his own lust. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it hath finished, it brings forth death. So this is the picture I got, all right? The temptation comes your way because you still have an old nature and lust is part of it. Okay, stealing. There's $100,000 sitting right there. And nobody's around. It's a little bizarre, but follow my point. I mean, right there, you're tempted. Unless you're stupid, you're tempted. Unless you don't know what you get. You are tempted, right? I was sitting in the diner the other day, and the man got up from his thing, and the wallet fell out of his pocket, and I didn't see it. His wife was sitting across from him, and he went up to pay the bill. So he got up there, and he realized he didn't have anything in his pocket. And his wife got up, and she picked up the wallet that was on the floor. I had not seen it. Had I seen it, I would have said to the man, hey, you dropped your wallet. But I hadn't seen it. But she picks it up and she looks at me like, I think you knew it was there. Doesn't matter to me. But the point is, people would be tempted to keep that wallet. People would, I mean, that it's an option, isn't it? But for those of us who are doing the word and always doing the word, it's not very much of a temptation anymore. But once upon a time, that would have been a great temptation. But see, when you act on the temptation, when lust conceives, when you allow it to conceive, then sin. Then you've sinned. See what I mean? So just read that again. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. When you act upon it, you retain this. Yep, I'm grabbing this. Then it brings forth sin, and sin, when it hath finished, when sin's done with you, it brings forth death. You sell out to sin, it brings forth eternal death. Go to 1 Peter. I guess got another verse or two. 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, one of the things that I've noticed as the time has gone by here, when I teach on this machine and I teach in front of you, I kind of lose because I'm thinking about a lot of other things. I used to be really good at timing, you know, 35-minute teaching, 45-minute teaching. I got no idea where I am. I gotta look down and see how long have I been talking. I've lost that sense of timing. You know, I used to have it pretty good. But 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant. And, you know, that's what it takes to walk with God. You got to have your head on straight. Okay, you got to have your thoughts lined up, your head on straight. And you got to be vigilant. This is work, a little discipline here. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. If you don't, you know, you think about it in terms of being in the jungle, wild animal. You got to have your head on straight. You got to be aware of your situation. And because there's a lion out there. Well, it's the same thing in the world that we live. It's the same thing with the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. The adversary is waiting who he can pounce on. And then 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 15, verse I love. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You're walking in this world, you got to have your head on a swivel and know that you have a devil that wants to consume you. But at the same time, we're called to do the things of God in our lives. And you sanctify, you set God apart in your heart. Your heart on its own without you controlling it is evil, deceitful above all things. But you put the word in your heart, you live according to that word, you discipline yourself to do that word, you're a wise child with the wisdom of God within you. And he will bless you and help you. But you sanctify him in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that's in you. Why are you so happy? Why are you so blessed? How come you're not upset? How come you know, you're not worried? How, you know, I mean, have you ever had people ask you these things? I've had them ask me, you know, but the point is, why are you so different than the rest? Because of the hope that you have within you. Yeah, they did a study in hospitals, and they said the people who pray do so much better even when just before they die. There's so much more peace. Because they know what's going on. They know where they're going. It's terrifying not to know what's going to happen. I know. It's the word that gives you that. But have, now think through, how many questions have you really been asked about the things of God? How many topics have really come up that people are like super important to them? There's not many. Not really many. I would say that if there's 20, that would be a lot. More, really, there's maybe 10. What's going to happen after I die? Okay. What happens to you after you die? You know, can you think of any of the other things? Is God real? Is his word real? Wasn't this written by men? Will God answer my prayers? Will he hear me? I'm not, you know. And then you have the other side of the coin. You say, well, I'm a good person. You know, I ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm a good person. Well, there's one. You got to have an answer for that. You want to help somebody? You got to tell them the truth. That's a common thing I hear. Well, have an answer for it. Have something in your head. It's already there. a teaching. Well, you're only going to get two sentences, a two sentence teaching that would lead them to maybe another get away from the lie. Get them to think. You know what Jesus did? Jesus always did this. I mean, read the Gospels. And it's been impressed upon me lately. When Jesus was dealing with that record, just go there for a second. It's in, I promise this is the last verse, in Mark 3. You want to have an answer to the basic, most fundamental basic things that people ask, and they really do ask the same questions over and over and over again. When Jesus entered into the synagogue, it says here in 3:1, it says he entered into the synagogue and there was a man there which had the withered hand. Now, why does somebody go to the synagogue? To fellowship, to hear the word, speak the word, to minister. It's like going to fellowship, right? And he saw a guy who had a need. He had a withered hand. And they, the people in the synagogue, according to leaders, they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. You know, they realized Jesus had the power to heal and knew he could do it. Let's see if he does it on the wrong day. So you know this man's got the power to heal and you are so evil that you're looking to catch him so he doesn't do it on that day. We're talking about really screwed up people, are we not? And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, he said, hey, come here, stand forth. And he said to them, talking about to the other guys, in the room, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? This is a biblical question. So the truth in the word is, you know, on the Sabbath day belongs to the Lord, right? It's a day for you to rest. It's not this legalistic, don't you dare lift a fork to your mouth or do something nice. That's what they turned it into. He asked them a biblical question. Is this the truth? Is it okay to do good on the Sabbath day? And you know what? And they held their peace. They didn't answer him. Wasn't there? That's not why we're looking at this. They didn't understand the wisdom of God. They didn't understand the truth. They had no compassion. They had a man who they knew could heal this guy. Now that's pretty, if you knew you had a guy next door that could heal like that, would you be not going there? Carmen would be, I would be, Mary would be. You know, maybe you ain't got too many things yet. Eventually you will be going too. They weren't concerned. They knew Jesus had the power. They knew he had the ability. He asked them a biblical question. Because you bring it all back. You got to bring it back to whatever God's truth is. Now, if the truth is you don't heal on the Sabbath day, then guess what? Jesus wouldn't be doing it. But he wanted them to understand it, and they refused. They refused. See, this is the dirt. That's why I'm saying to you. There'll be people saying, oh, that's not right. This isn't wrong. You're evil. You're this, you're that, you're something else. Is that really true from God's word's point of view? On every single thing that comes your way, is it true from the word? and I can see it. That's how you judge. That's how you ask God for wisdom. He says he'll give it liberally to anyone who asks in James. You ask and you search the scriptures and you choose and you learn to live according to his will and not anything or anybody else's. So that's what I wanted to share with you all this morning. Real grateful. Father, thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you for teaching us your word, giving us wisdom, Father, helping us to choose to do things your way, not the world's way, my God. Help us to walk like our Lord and Savior walked. Give us the grace, the help, and keep us from evil, my God. Keep us from the temptations that always come our way. And don't let them conceive in our heart. Thank you for your love and goodness, Father, and all your great grace, your tender mercies. Thank you for your healing wholeness for all your children. Thank you, my God, for helping all those that are moving your word around the world, especially those that are being persecuted, my Father. Give them everything that they need. And I love you and I praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.